I believe God's intention from the beginning has been to fellowship with his people. It was not meant to just be a legal transaction that we entered into and thought, right, that's done. Now life goes on. I'm right for heaven. And we don't give any more heed to it. You've just sung. Mere words alone are not sufficient thanks. So take my life, transform, renew and change me that I might be a living sacrifice. Believe me, that about sums up the rest of the journey. If you didn't know what you sang and what that means, God does. We need to be careful what we sing. God treats seriously the vows that we make before him, and he will come in to redeem and work with us so that he might have that place that you want to give him. I believe he knows how to handle sacrifices. When we're sacrificing something to him, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. He knows what to do after that, and we take the journey with him. Ephesians 5 says, once you were darkness, now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. I mean, that's the whole of life. Not find out how to please him. Find out what pleases him and move with him, cooperate with him in the journey. He also said that we have everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. Not just godliness, life and godliness, you know? And sometimes we've got to take those verses and chew on them and think, what do they mean and what do they mean for me now? How is this going to affect my life? How am I going to live in the light of all that I've heard, all that I've entered into? I've entered into something, and I think initially we hardly know. It's too new, isn't it? But the way's open and we've gone in. What now? And I firmly believe that it's meant to be more than nice verses hung on my wall that I pass by and I think, isn't that nice? I might even pause and have 60 seconds silence in front of that verse. Is that enough? It's not enough for God, and I don't really believe it will be enough for us if we're serious about this journey with God. There was a stage in my life, I'm going to tell you some of my journey, because I grew up in the church. I grew up in the church. I knew about God. You know, I knew who he was. I knew how to pray. I knew all those things. I grew up. I took him as my Lord and Saviour, except I don't believe I knew what Lord meant. He was my Saviour, and I wanted to be saved from hell, saved from death. I wanted that. Let me tell you, it was 25 years before I really knew what it was to have him as my Lord. I say that to my shame, but to his glory. See, he knows where we are. He knows what our journey is and how to meet us there, because the package isn't meant to be divided. It's not meant to be divided. But sometimes it's a case of, once I thought, now I know. As God's light shines something, I didn't know. I didn't know. But God's in the business of putting light on things, because all the fellowship that we have with him is in the light. 1 John teaches us that. And the Gospel of John, it's all going to happen in the light. And we need to feel comfortable with the light and the presence of God. You know, Hebrews tells me that the Word of God is living and active. And nothing is hidden. All is laid bare before him. You know, and sometimes we can feel like we want to shrink from that. It's when we kind of identify a little bit more with Adam and Eve. When God comes to walk in the cool of the garden, we think, oh, I know all isn't well. And we're trying to look for things to cover us. Well, we need to look back to Christ as our covering and then come boldly into the throne of grace to find the grace and mercy we need. for this life, okay? That's the journey. Like, we've got to keep applying the truth that we've heard to our journey so that we can actually enter in. You know, we're entering into God. God is entering into us, taking those vessels that he might have hold of them. That's what the journey is. You know, I got to the stage where I wished that I had a gutter experience, okay? I wished that I had a story that I could stand up and tell people what I had been saved from. You know what I mean, don't you? Right? Because I had been good. I didn't even openly rebel. I had been good. Now, I knew I was a sinner. I mean, we're told that. I accepted that. But I felt good. And so eventually, coming to terms with that, as we draw near to God, he draws near to us. Okay? And we're finding then, have you ever felt like he traps you sometimes in the journey? It's a nice sort of a trapping, but he leads you and you don't realise that you're being attracted to something. And I got to the stage where I thought, if what I've got is the abundant life, because the Bible says we've got the abundant life, it's not much. What I've got isn't much. Now, that was a very brave statement for me to make to God, but it was a very honest moment. Now, I wasn't into listening to God real clearly then. I hardly knew he spoke as clearly as he would out of his word. But I believe that if heaven could have spoken at that point to me, I might have heard, well, about time, at last. She's been satisfied with so little. You know, there's so much to enter into. Our inheritance is there for us to apprehend and enter into and enjoy. It's about time. My mum tells the story of when she had an operation and she was left, I think it was a kidney operation, she was left with the hole and she was having it dressed every day as the nurse came to the home and it wasn't healing. The minister eventually came to her home and said, I'm calling the church to a week of prayer for your healing. And she said, oh, I mean, there's plenty of other people to be praying for. I mean, don't feel like you've got to. I mean, who am I? What are you doing here? He said, well, nevertheless, I'm calling the church to a week of prayer. The district nurse came and watched that heal up that week and close over. She never knew that as a diabetic, that wound might never have healed. She didn't know that until afterwards. God did something special for her. And at the end of that time, he said to her, you would have settled for the crumbs. I wanted you to have the banquet. You know, and we can all look at our lives and think, how often are we doing that? Thinking, who are we? Like, you know, we need to realise who we are. My journey also turned on a point when I was just listening to a tape. And the statement came out, you're only as holy as you choose to be. And I thought, well, that's not right. And the message was coming from Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Well. And I suddenly realised that I was treating the whole journey like a passive victim rather than an active participant. I was treating God like, well, catch me if you can. I suppose you've got to make me holy. You said you would. But give him cooperation? No. No, because I was still living my life the way I wanted it, under my control, you know? Did you ever have those pictures of self on the throne? When we came to Christ, self got off, God got on. And potentially, that's what happened. But I didn't realise for all those years that myself was a ruling king and was not going to give up that throne very easily. You know, we need to study the story of King Saul and King David. David was given the throne and anointed by God, but it was a long time before he could get it because Saul didn't want to give it. You know, and our flesh can be like that, fighting tooth and nail to hold on to what's his. That was a greater battle. It was almost like God was going to say to me, Val, I'll show you what I'm going to save you from. It's to do with yourself. I had to begin to see my self sins because I didn't have so many of the moral ones. Can you see what I mean? Right? Because I'd been good, I couldn't see so much there of what he had saved me from. But I still needed to see what a sinner I was under that. Okay? I needed to see my sin of pride, my sin of so many of those things. It's the heart of Lucifer, isn't it? The sin of pride. I mean, I'm still smacking too much of looking like the enemy rather than looking at the characteristics of God and thinking, I didn't resemble that too well, you know? And we need to get our eye in on some of those things. I need to know that I need to know God and be known. The Word of God for me, for many years, was like a window. I could read it, and I could look through, and I'd see all of you. I could see all your faults and everything you were doing. But it was a while before suddenly it became a mirror and reflected back. And at that time, it feels like the experience of Isaiah. Do you know the experience of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 when he saw the Lord? And he said, woe is me, I am undone. Like, whoa. Like, I thought I was nice. Now I know I'm not. Wow, I mean, this is horrific. And that's sometimes what happens as we draw near and God draws near, because there are changes and transforming moments that need to occur that we begin to look like him. You know, I didn't instantly look like him at the point of conversion. At the point when I made my stand with him, I didn't suddenly look like him. But at that moment, all the resources were there to move with me on the journey so that I could. He didn't just want me in name only. He wanted me as family to look like him and resemble him. And we are told in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4, you know, that picture of we look and behold, and then we reflect. We reflect. That's automatic. There's an automatic part of the journey that we look and behold and we're reflecting to others. A prayer that was very important in my journey was, Lord, show me yourself and show me myself as you see me. We need courage for that too. That's like the Psalm 139, search me, O God, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me, because I really want to walk in the way everlasting. That's really, in my foundation, that's my choice. Now God will read that and move with it. He'll move with your intention. Even when we don't understand the words sometimes, we don't know where we are, he'll move with what he knows underneath we really want. And he'll move with that and work with us so that he can take his place. I began then to know after that more of the love of God and more of the security that comes with that. You start entering into the scriptures. I remember the day when, as I was coming to terms with my insecurity as a human being and my security in him, so that I didn't get so rocked around by things that happened to me, I remember reading Psalm 125. You know where it says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people. Again, it's one we can often have on the wall. But I thought about that. That's what meditation is. You think about that. And I thought, you know what? Those mountains, they don't go anywhere. That's true, isn't it? They don't go anywhere. And the Lord said, as, so. And I got it. You see that? You go out and you grab it, because otherwise I didn't have it. It was in the book. It was there for me, but I didn't have it. I didn't grab it. So it wasn't bringing the security in me to help me in this life that I might walk with him and not be so knocked around. Romans 8, you know, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Do you remember the list? Go and have another read of it. Nothing can separate me. There's a great list. You know, find anything that's outside that list that can separate us from the love of God. And we need to know that. It needs to keep dawning on us. My self-esteem is best seen in the light of who I am in God. I am a child of God. I am an heir with Christ. I am this and that. And you read it and you note it and you let it dawn on you. Because then you've got it in reality. It's not just on a piece of paper and say, and you're reading it saying, here's what you are. You enter into it fully so you know who you are. And so you get a reality that starts to come in our journey. The reality of God. I mean, he is personal. But you know, I took him as my personal saviour. But we don't always know what that means really as it's lived out. At least I didn't. And sometimes you've got to be prepared to come undone. As I said, the Paul-Saul moment when he thought he was serving God and he had to one day realise that he wasn't. And to me, that's the true meaning of the word enlightened. He was enlightened because he didn't really know the Father or the Lord. Right? But he thought he did. He thought he had it all in order. So he had to see. The light had to shine on that so he could see. But then I had to see one day, just as Paul said, well, I had this pedigree. Paul had this pedigree, didn't he? Nice long list of here's who I am. Right? I'm this and this, and he was the best of everything. He was the top of the line. And he had to see that that was of no value for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And he was prepared to let that go. One writer calls it, the man going up met the man coming down. Because Philippians 2 will tell us that our Lord didn't even consider equality with God a thing to be held onto. He let that go and he was on his way down to become a man and live with us. And Paul met that man and suddenly things changed. Things changed, you know. And I had a pedigree too. You know, I was a minister's daughter. I was a minister's wife. I mean, I was a Baptist. You know, I was Australian. I mean, you've got all this stuff that gives us a sense of security and well-being and who am I? Okay? And suddenly we run into God and we think, well, that's a lot of good, isn't it? That's a lot of help. Like, it is worthless. It is valueless. It's worth nothing. And I needed to see, I mean, that can change. You know, I need to see where my security is over here. And I had to unlearn stuff. And I'm sure Paul had to do that. I'd love to know what happened in 14 years in the desert after he met Christ. He knew the scriptures. He knew it well. But he had to get new light on it. He had to process it and be thinking, it's a bit different from the way I thought. But the truth stands. Okay, the spirit and the truth are always going to be agreeing. He just had to line up with it and then come back because God was going to use him. God's not saying, right, well, you've blown it, you're on the scrap heap. No, he's looking for vessels. And if we're presenting ourselves as vessels to be used, he's going to make us usable. And that's part of the journey. And we can sometimes resemble some of the people we're reading about in the Bible as far as the journey goes. And so part of that is coming to terms with where we are and what's happened, how we think. You know, we're transformed as we renew our minds. That's after we've presented ourselves, okay? We start to be renewed. I mean, this is where most stuff happens, isn't it? It happens in our minds. And we've got to be transformed. We've got to change our thinking on things. And as I said, I knew how to pray. I knew how to put prayers together. But again, I think it was a very important day when I said, I don't know how to pray. Would you teach me how to pray? See, it's learning to lean and be taught of the Spirit of God, not just the form and the rote that we can grow up with. You know, we will teach our children how to do things, but they need to then find it for themselves so that it becomes real for them. And we learn how to lean on God and start praying and lining up with his heart. One illustration for me remained very graphic. I mean, I'm going to share some of my encounters with God, but I want you to know it doesn't happen every day. When I'm sharing a few of them like this, you can think, wow, that was a solid week. And it can give you the wrong impression, okay? Because as I said yesterday, God doesn't have to dance to our tune. He doesn't have to speak on cue. But he's dealing with us and we're relating to him in a very personal and close way. Our choice. He's chosen to be close. We're choosing how close that's going to be as we choose to step up close and come. And I remember one day again, our son was saying to us, we don't have family devotions. Why don't we? I thought, that's right, we don't. It'll be your father's fault. I mean, it's his fault, the man's fault, job to bring in devotions, isn't it? I mean, we shouldn't really choose. It's his fault. So we've got that right. We've got that sorted out. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll start praying and you and I can pray and we'll watch God change his heart so he brings it in. I mean, these are the games we play, really. Are you different from me? Right, so we went off to pray. So I go in to pray that next day, trying to understand how to pray, getting it right. This has got to be God's will, isn't it, that we have family devotions? Right, so we've got God's will, I'll go in and say. So I went in and I said, look, I'd really like to have family devotions in our home. God said, you would not? Oh, you're right, I wouldn't. I didn't like it. But I'd forgotten that. I didn't like it as I grew up. You know, it was a form and I just didn't want it. So I kind of put that in the back of my mind. So I had to go out and tell Tim that, sorry, it was really me. I didn't like it. But you know, God was dealing with me. He was bringing up things that we'd forgotten. He was making me a real person, dealing with him. And so what you learn is, you don't pretend with God. I mean, what I think I've forgotten and what I think I haven't got straight doesn't matter one iota. By the time I put it to him, I get the truth back. You know? There was a day when I was trying to grab that again. I was on holidays. I mean, you think it's safe to just go on holidays and have a bit of a break, don't you? And I was reading a book and I was getting a lot out of every chapter. It was called Seeing Jesus as the Truth. And I was really enjoying it. And then I came to this chapter that was about seeing Jesus as the truth. And I didn't really understand it. I thought, oh, that's a bit sad. I didn't get anything out of that. Oh, well, another chapter tomorrow. And that night, I had a dream. Now, there was nothing in the dream of significance except where God was going to take it. So I woke up with this dream and I was having an absolutely dreadful fight with Brian over something. And we didn't usually do that, but this was this horrific fight. And I woke up and my first thought was, surely I'm not like that. I mean, surely, that was pretty horrible. And at that point, God stepped in and said, Val, that's what you didn't learn out of that chapter yesterday. When I'm trying to come close and show you what you're like, and you're saying, surely I'm not like that. The truth isn't in you. And you're bordering on calling me a liar. Can you see that? That's the First John teaching, you know. We've got to own things. We've got to learn how to agree with God. I mean, that was a sobering moment. There was no sleep after that. I got up and walked the beach. You know, they're sobering moments. As you're coming to terms with what on earth this God is saying and where on earth have I been? You know, and we're making the changes and the adjustments that go with that sight. A good illustration, even in a practical sense, is our hands are clean. God has made us clean. And then he's mopping up that in reality. And it's like you can look at your hands and they're clean. And then you get a spotlight and you look at it and think, oh, I didn't see all the dirt in those little cracks there now. And God's cleaning up those things as part of the journey because he wants us to be, in reality, his holy people and his vessels for use. He's always wanted that. Israel was to be a light to the Gentiles. We are to be a light to the world. This is the best they've got. We are the best they've got. God has chosen it to be that way. You know? That was the risk he took. You know? We're it, but he's with us. That's why he needs to get hold of us, that he might shine through. And in that, we need to find those characteristics of him that we looked at yesterday with his voice. The characteristics of him need to start to be in us. You know? And it's no good at that point saying, touch my bad temper, you can't do. That's been in the family for generations. You know? And we've got to start coming to terms with my heritage and who I am because I've got a new heritage. And you know, Philippians 2, after that passage of Jesus leaving everything and coming down and humbling himself and being a man, then it says, now you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For God is at work within you to will and to do for his good pleasure. You know, he's willing and he's doing. And we need to draw near and start willing and cooperating with him in that journey. And yes, God will convict us if conviction is necessary. But you know, what I've learned in my own journey is conviction is a very lovely emotion. Perhaps it's one of those loving words of love, like Lynelle was talking about, conviction. You know, it sounds horrible, doesn't it? You think, well, who wants to be convicted? But the conviction of God does not smack at all like the condemnation of the enemy. If you're there in your guilt, it is not a nice place. You come into the light with your sin. You come under the conviction of God if there is still sin to be dealt with. And it's like you're just giving cooperation to enter in to the freedom that is right there for you. Sometimes we struggle because we don't want to let go. But God will, if that's what his light's on, take the journey until you lose. We're not meant to win at those points. And God has provided us with the power to change. He says, you confess your sin, I'll forgive and I'll cleanse. It's a fair deal, isn't it? We just need to confess. And don't we find it hard to do? You know? Like we want to say, as Mel said, excuse me. Excuse me for doing it. It was a mistake. You know? We mightn't have meant to, but it's still sin. We need to see in God's light. You know, we need to see things with his eyes and in his light. There was another part of my journey where God said, do you want me to be your Lord? At that point, I was devastated. I thought, I have called you Lord since I was this high. Don't tell me I haven't even got that right. Can you see the coming undone bit and how that might have felt for me even emotionally, right? At that point, while you're trying to actually find the security, the solid spot on which to put your feet. And God said to me, you can call me Lord because that's who I am. That's nice, isn't it? That's who I am. But remember, God will be to us who he is. And he said, my question was, do you want me to be yours? Can you see the personal side? See, that's the personal side. Because that's to do with ownership. That's to do with who's in charge. You know? And sometimes we like to be in charge. You know? We like to know that we've got the say. You know? And we've got choices. And if he says, do this, we like to think we've got an option. You know? And therefore we don't really know what Lord is. And what that is, we don't really understand what it is to be a servant, right? We're so busy wanting to be masters, okay? And we need to understand the vine and the branch bit. You know, he's the vine, I'm the branch. And actually, when we see it, there's less responsibility in it. Like, I don't have to be God. You know, the responsibility doesn't rest with me. It rests with him. He's the vine. I'm the branch. I mean, that's much easier. I just have to learn how to abide in that. You know, I just have to learn how to link in and stay there so that his words are remaining in me. You know, that's what abiding is. You know, I'm linked in and his words are remaining in me. And if his words are remaining in me, they're going to have power to do. They're going to work out. They will be light and life to me in my journey. And there was another part, and this shows you the miracle of what God can do. Because I so much resembled a Pharisee, because probably I'd come up in the church knowing it all, you know, knowing the truth, believing I had the best truth and all the rest of it, I was so much like a Pharisee. And suddenly then I thought, oh dear, I am like this fully baked loaf of bread. And he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Okay. Well, I missed that. By now it's too late. I'm a fully baked loaf with the yeast all in it. And I felt like I'm saying to God, is there any hope here? Like, is there? Can you get the yeast out of that? Now you try, I mean, could you? You know, we realise then we're coming to the God who can do the impossible. I could, no way I could do, I mean, I had done my best and realised it wasn't good enough. And I had to trust that he could. That's my trust, not only that he could, but that he would. Yeah. Can you see that again? Not just the could, but the would. My trust is not going to be misplaced at those moments when I say, here I am, fully messed up. Over to you. Over to you. And my trust is that he can do something with that. I also realised at that point I had three little ones coming nicely along behind them, and I had made them just like myself. We do, don't we? Just like ourselves. I'd done a good job. So I said to God, well, it's not only me, there's them. Like, can you do them too? And because God's teaching me who he is as well. Can you hear that? And at that point, Tim walked out of the bedroom. See, he's our eldest. We learn most from our eldest, don't we? He walked out of the bedroom and said, Mum, did you call me? I said, no. He went down the hallway to where Karen's bedroom was. Karen, did you call me? No. He came back out. He said, somebody called me. Can you see? He went to, it was a soft voice. He went to the two females. It was interesting watching them. And I said, Tim, I believe that was God. One day you'll hear it again and you'll be following that. But that was for me. I needed to know that. Right? That's living and walking with this personal God. That all is going to be well. I've got to know that what I entrust to him is okay. He's entrusted to me, hasn't he? And I've got to know that what I've entrusted to him is okay. What we're doing actually is putting our experience in the Word of God, isn't it? We're putting our experience, it's got to come alive for us so that we're living in this and it's all happening as part of us. Then we've got something to pass on to others. Maybe we can leave it there, because you'll all be on your journey. I've shared some of mine. You'll know how God needs to relate to yours, and he will be there for you, because he is who he is, and that's how he presents himself to each one of us. Absolutely trustworthy, and it's okay for us to rest there and take our journey.